Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
This last week was a bit of a challenging week because I was exhausted. Hey, I'm looking at Pastor Sonia because she's like, yeah, you needed a Snickers, mate. Because I did something a little bit crazy. The Friday before, I finished 11 months straight of study. I did back-to-back-to-back studying, almost getting to the end of the Masters of Counselling and studying a lot. I thought, oh, how hard could it be? Well, over those 11 months, there was pneumonia. We had a little transition in the life of our church, just a few little things that happened. And my mindset, if I'm honest with you, was like, okay, I've just got to get things done because we were leading a team. I'm going to be real with you. And the reason why I feel led to be real with you is because often there are some of you that just being here today was an effort enough. And the Lord sees your heart in that. We're not always going to be switched on 150% ready to go. But God still ministers very beautifully. You know, I'm going to share my three highlights. And funny enough, none of them had to do with what happened in worship or with the Word. Actually, two of them happened behind the scenes. And I feel this to bless some of you here today. The first one was in our volunteer lounge where I saw a young man. He's part of our evangelism team and he'll be okay with me sharing this because I went and shared this with him straight away. Pastor Joel Erskine. I just saw him there with his little daughter having breakfast one of the mornings, ignoring everything else around him and just loving on his child. And I'm like, gee, what a beautiful dad. And the Lord's like, what are you telling me? Go tell him. So I did. I go, you're one of my highlights of this conference. And that was on day one, I think, or the first day session. And I share that with you here today because there are some of you that feel that you're failing as parents. Do you know that the greatest present you can give your kid is presence? Your presence and his. And I feel that both in the natural but in the spiritual as well. That when God looks at you, He looks at you the way that Joel looked at his daughter. Didn't care when she dropped the milk everywhere. Not as much as I cared when Lexi did it yesterday because I had to clean it up. He doesn't care if you don't say the right thing. And the Lord in that moment told me, honor parents, both natural and spiritual, and let them know that Abba Father, what Rue preached on 2 weeks ago, and if you weren't here, I encourage you to hear the podcast. That's who he is, Abba, Papa, Daddy. So that was my first highlight. The second highlight was leading the VIP room. Now, the VIP room is not what you think it is. See, in the past, we've had a pastor's lounge, and people have thought that's the VIP room. No, no. Pastor Levo and I got to lead the real VIP room this year, and that was a room for the volunteers. The faithfulness of our church, seeing all our locations represented from people that just want to serve God, not for the accolade, but for His glory. And I saw a young man who is on platform on worship team, but my highlight wasn't seeing him on platform on worship team. My highlight was seeing him holding this very heavy camera on another session when he wasn't on worship team, serving with the same joy and the same passion as when he's on the platform. And I shared with him that, you know, because you've been bold and audacious enough to do the little things that don't give any recognition, it's the Lord that exalts those who humble themselves. And I made one thing clear to our team, and both Levi and I, and I love this about Levi because he does this here with our volunteer teams. Function comes second to the heart of the person that serves. And so with our team, we made it clear what we want to do is we don't want to just feed them, we want to love and honor them. The sacrifice, you know, these moments are beautiful. But I remember Chris Hodges from Church of the Highlands once teaching that long before anyone has that encounter or makes a decision, they're impacted by the grace of those that they meet at the door, their experience of who meets them in here. And we've got some world-class volunteers. Can we put our hands together for our volunteer team here? And lastly, before I let Hayden go and sit down, I'll share my last one. It was actually yesterday. Like I shared with you, these last 11 months have felt like forever, you know, studying and Praise the Lord, I'm passing and not just passing. I'm doing well. Can you believe that? I've averaged a distinction. That's not about me. That's God's grace. That or I'm good at making things up at the last minute. I don't know. But anyway. So I felt tired. I felt very fatigued. And yesterday in our last session, when Pastor Haley got up, if I'm honest, I don't know what she was saying because the Holy Spirit was speaking to my heart. Because I'm like, I'm exhausted, Lord. Okay, it's gonna be. I thought I'd cried it out this morning. I'm gonna try it. And the Lord asked me three times the same question. And it was in the most sweetest voice. And his question was, do I still have your yes? And I'm like, you do. And like, I just couldn't stop crying. Then he asked me again, do I still have your yes? All of it, Lord. Do I still have your yes? You know you do, Lord. And then this line, when you give me all your yes, I give you all of mine. And I will never let you down. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. And I feel like sharing that because that's for some of you here today. You might think yes means I've got to go join every team and server. No, it's just your heart. I don't know what that means. I don't know. But all I know is that he's got all my yes unconditionally, no matter what. So Lord, right now I just pray for everyone here today, Lord, for the parents that may feel like they're not doing a good enough job, or for your sons and daughters that feel that they are less and they are undeserving of your love and grace, Lord. Will you touch them and show them what true revival is? That you love them, Lord. For our teams that serve faithfully, even if they feel like all I do is put out a chair, will you put out a chair for someone that is going to be loved by the Almighty God? That's more than enough. I just say hi to someone. You give the opportunity for people to be seen by the Lord. For our teams that come early to set up our sound and our team that rehearse, not to perfect a craft, but to prepare and posture for worship, Lord. We honor you, Lord. And lastly, for those of us here, Lord, who are feeling fatigued, tired, unseen, exhausted, whatever it may be, Lord, that all you ask is for our yes. I know for me, I give you all of my yes, Lord. Whatever that is. And our heart, my heart is that we would do the same, Lord. Because I believe from this place, there are some that are called to be missionaries in the workplace, in your family, around the world. You know, the ultimate is not church ministry on a Sunday. The ultimate is wherever God leads you and graces you to be. And so, Lord, I pray, Father God, that you would minister to us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Awesome. Can we give God some praise? And thank you very much, Hayden, for leading us so beautifully. You know, initially you think about, okay, we're coming to a revival conference and we're going to come and preach the fire of God, fire. But no. You know, the Lord put in my heart something a bit bigger than that. To speak on the topic of the person of the Holy Spirit. See, I've got this, you can't really tell, but I love a bit of boxing. I go in a boxing gym. I've got short arms though, so I can't actually box. But I don't know if you've ever had the boxing wraps before, but I thought the old Apple headphones were bad in tangling things up. But you haven't had 2 meter boxing wraps. They go in perfect, and then I don't know what happens in the washing machine. They start playing Twister or something, but they come out and it's 2 meters of knots. And it takes me like 20 minutes just to wrap one up to undo the knots. What's boxing got to do with the person of the Holy Spirit? That's a very good question. He wants to knock you out today. No, that's a bad joke. Our theology about the Holy Spirit could be like those wraps. And I felt the Lord say, before we talk about the gifts, the power, the fruit, all that stuff, I want you to introduce who I am. And undo those little things bit by bit by bit. You know, often, at least in my own upbringing in the church, We had God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Scripture. That all he did was tell you you're a sinner and choose his favorites to give prophecy to and just choose those favorites. So you're not chosen, he doesn't like you. And if I didn't manifest every time the Holy Spirit touched me, if I wasn't, you know, convulsing or screaming or shrieking, that I haven't received the Holy Spirit. And then I would see people come up. And that's why we've got to be very, very careful when we say anything on behalf of God. But I would see people come up and use their authority to manipulate people and say it was God. And if you disagreed, they'd find out a little bit of gossip, and the prophetic word would be words of gossip, but we would hide them as words of discernment. The Lord says, you know, you took $10 from yourself the other day. I shame you in front of everyone. So I was scared of the Holy Spirit. So I've come to this church 15 years ago and I was scared. Whenever someone would say, the Lord has given me a prophetic word, I would run out the door. They're going to call out all my sin. You know, he's the most misunderstood of the three. You know, that's my experience. For you, it might be a little bit different. At times, it can feel like it's a popularity contest. Everyone is doing this except for me. Therefore, I miss out. And people may tell you, well, you don't have the Holy Spirit because you're not reacting like we do. Maybe you can relate to this story. This has got nothing to do with church. But you could relate to this story. And I remember years ago, I had a friend that I hadn't seen from school, and her and her husband were like, hey, come grab a coffee at our house. I'd love to hang out. Oh, sweet, man, I'll come down. You know, this is before I was married. So I don't think we were together. But I remember going over, like, oh, it'd be good to see my friends. And then I noticed there are all these cars on the street. And I'm like, gee, they've got some pretty party animal neighbors. What's going on? So then I opened the door and there's literally like 70 people in this house. And I'm like, have I got the right house? I look at him like, and then I hear, Dave, how are you, man? And I'm like, hey, did I get the wrong day and time? I'm pretty sure it was tonight at 7:30. No, you're here, man. We want to sell you on something. I thought we were having coffee, man. What are we selling me on? So they start telling me this whole business plan and what they want to do. And they're like, so what? You're going to sign? Nah, man, that sounds dodge. Don't have a poverty mindset. You're poverty stricken. That's your mindset. I'm pretty sure I'm in the top 12% of people in the world, you know, because we've got enough, I actually, you know, can get by. And then I was shamed and guilted because I did not agree with what the majority were doing. For some of you, that's church. You've come in and said, oh, you've got a slavery mindset. You don't want to change. Not realizing that change is personal. You know, in praying for today, when I was praying for the fire and the Lord's like, I want you to go back to basics. I want you to introduce to the location who he is. And the only way that we can do that is by going to Jesus himself. And so I want to invite us to do a little bit of reading today. In John chapter 14, verses 15 to 18, I'm going to read a few verses along. You can follow me on the screens behind me while you find that. John chapter 14, verses 15 to 18. I'm going to blow my nose. Sorry about that. And the scripture says, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. We fast forward on to verses 23 to 27. Of the same chapter, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. There it is again. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, here he is again, the Holy Spirit, named this time, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance. Again, thank you very much, Pastor Gary, for that word. Bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now let's turn the page to chapter 15, verses 26 to 27. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. And you also will bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. We jump into chapter 16, verses 7 to 15. This is the run home. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. You know, Jesus really sets the way for the Holy Spirit. For who he is. Notice how in this scripture he doesn't talk about anything about fire, anything about his gifts, not even about his fruit. He introduces the person. See, often what can happen is, right, we limit the Holy Spirit to, like, you know when you meet that person that knows a guy? Hey man, my thing's breaking down. Hey, I know a guy, man, he can give you this. Many of us can limit Holy Spirit to that. The guy that whenever we need something, he'll give it to us at a good price too. But here, Jesus doesn't raise that. In order to fully appreciate, though, the gifts and the power and the fruit, which is all amazing, mind you, we need to first understand who he actually is, who is the person of the Holy Spirit, and know who he is much more than what he can do for us. And so the first thing that we see is that the Holy Spirit is sent and has various functions. You know, we read throughout the whole scriptures that he is sent. And when is he sent? When we love and we respond to the word. What is to love is not just to acknowledge in emotion, but is a demonstration of obedience. Because what does he say? For those that don't follow his word, in chapter 14, verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words. Love is an action, not just an emotion. Love is a choice. Sonia would tell you, because it's her birthday coming up, she loves me 24/7, but she doesn't like me 24/7. Most notably in the morning, when I wake up full of zest and life and she hasn't had a coffee yet. But loving obedience is choosing that. And the Holy Spirit is sent to do what? To testify of Jesus. The purpose of the Holy Spirit is to testify of the goodness of Jesus to the world. And so we see that. And so the term that the NKJV uses is helper. But notice that when he speaks of the Holy Spirit, he uses, in the Greek, the word is ekenos, which means he. There's a masculine pronoun. I'm not saying that he's all masculine. The whole point of it is he's not the universe. He's not an aura or a being. He is a person. Yes. Good. Gee, I feel him. I feel it. Do you feel that? It's him. It's he. It's a person. But I love what some of the other translations use, because they use the term counselor. Not just because I'm studying that, mind you, but counselor. The Greek word that is actually used is parakletos. We hear that word paralegal. What is that? One that comes to the aid of. One that comes alongside you. Not just from up here saying, thus shall not sin anymore. You've been a good boy, I'll give you prophecy. You've been a good girl, I'll give you gifts of healing. Someone that is with you in every single moment, in the mountaintops and in the valley. Someone that comes alongside you. Other translations use the word advocate. When you think about the advocate, I think of people that stand in the gap. No, I can vouch for this guy, which is what Jesus did for us when he hung on the cross. He advocated for us with the Father so we could get the Holy Spirit. He invited us into his crew. And notice how he says, this isn't in my words, but notice how he says, for those that love and follow him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit will come to you. He's not waiting over here and saying, hurry up, get your life in order, do the right thing and come to me. No, you love me, you follow my word, let us come to you. We want to hang out with you. So we see the advocate in the context of what Jesus is telling the disciples. He's preparing them for his death. So he's a comforter. He refers to the Holy Spirit as the comforter after Jesus' departure. He's the teacher. He reinforces what Jesus taught. He's the guide. He's the guide of things to come and the truth. Or if you want to put it in a beautiful illustration, he's our moral compass. See, okay, I wasn't going to share this story. I'm going to share this one. You know, I almost fell victim to a scam on Thursday. True story. I was having breakfast and I get this message. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And I get this message, oh, there's a money request on your PayPal for $175. Sonia, she getting in on her early birthday gift? What's going on? So then I see an email. And the first thing that I do is I click on the from, because often it says PayPal, but when you click on it, it's like 35432@gmail.com or something. Or iamawesome@gmail.com. But it said service@paypal.com. Well, this seems legit. I'm going to call the 1-800 number. I was tired, right? And this very professional gentleman answers the phone, and it was a call center. You could hear people around him, right? And he's calling out every transaction, but something in my spirit's like, this isn't right. There's something dodgy about this. Because then that was before he started then reading my credit card numbers out and everything. I'm like, you shouldn't know that information. But then he's like, if you give me the code that you get on your phone right now, this was a dead giveaway. If you give me the number, the confirmation number on your phone, that way I can stop the use from people from around the world. But the message I got, this, like I said, this one, you didn't need Holy Spirit discernment from this. Give us this code and you approve the purchase to this thing. You're asking me to approve a purchase, mate. You're not asking me to give you a code to stop it. No, trust me. No, I don't. And I hung up and I called up PayPal. It was actually a different number. And someone managed to take, thank God it was only $5 US, take money out. Why I share that story is, one, because we're all not immune to being victims to these things, so please be mindful when you get stuff. This is your public service announcement. But two, as someone was talking, I could sense this is not right. Something's not right. We can limit Holy Spirit to just good boy, bad boy, or good girl, bad girl, but the Holy Spirit will sometimes tell you, wait a second, there's a stirring in your spirit, something's not right. So can I encourage you, and that includes if any of us do it, if there's a prophetic word given over you, don't take it over for face value straight away. Go back in prayer into the Word of God. Let the Holy Spirit bring it to life in you. Now I've got to find myself in the notes because that wasn't part of my note. The other thing we see here that who the Holy Spirit is, he is sent for everyone. He wasn't just given to the disciples because they were the faithful ones. We'll read a bit later. They weren't as faithful as we think. He was sent in answer to Jesus' prayer, not because of their performance. Jesus didn't want to leave them alone. He said, I will not leave you as orphans. Verse 18 of chapter 14. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. He comes through the Holy Spirit. And he is never taken away. See, again, when we don't understand the relationship with the person of the Holy Spirit, again, we limit ourselves. And I keep feeling him impressing my heart that it comes to good and bad, whether I feel like it or I don't. I don't feel like it today. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is like, okay, well, I'm not going to be with you today. No, the Holy Spirit is there for us at all times, given to all believers with no exception, not just for the super spiros, not just for the ones that are the special ones, not just for the pastoral team, or the prophetic team, but all of us. He complements the work, and in this context, complements the work that the disciples were doing. God's will is outworked through his Holy Spirit in our lives. See, his many characteristics define a person that is loyal, supporting, and who always has our back. He is the one that convicts our heart of what is wrong and who comforts us when we fall. He leads us and teaches us by bringing the scriptures to life. And his existence is to bear witness to Jesus. It breaks my heart when we see people take the gifts of the Holy Spirit and use it as some sort of party trick. Look what I can do. I'll give you a word. Look what I can do. I'll give you words of discernment. And we use it for that. But the heart of it is not to say how great I am. It's to show how great he is. That the Jesus, the Son of God, gave everything of himself on a cross so that we could have access to the Father. So I don't have to go and praise the Lord because at the sight of blood or slaying an animal freaks me out. So thank God that he came and did that so I don't have to go and cut up a lamb in half. Unless it's cooked, I don't mind cutting it. But the point is, it testifies to the goodness of God. I love how one of the commentators puts it, is that the Holy Spirit would do for the disciples after Jesus' departure what Jesus had done before it. What did Jesus do with the disciples? Encourage you, read the Gospels. He was everywhere with them. He taught them things. He lived with them. He communed with them. He did life with them. That's what the Holy Spirit does. No one is left alone. And I share this because we will get to the topics of the fire and the gifts and all that and things to come. But if you don't understand who He is, we'll misuse it. And God's grace is that, you know what? We will see signs and wonders. Jesus talks about that, right? There'll be plenty that come and say, hey, didn't we like prophesy in your name? Didn't we heal sick and cast the demons in your name? And His response is, depart from me. I never knew you. The heart of this is to know Him. So I hope this is helping. See, in verse 17 of chapter 14, Jesus tells the disciples, they already know Him. And they're thinking, oh, I don't know this guy at all. Why? Because they already knew Jesus. To know Jesus is to know the Holy Spirit. He's intertwined. Notice how Jesus says, I only do the will of my Father, what my Father sent me. But then He says in verse 23, sorry, my page just turned here. The Father will then send the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Notice how Jesus does what the Father does. The Holy Spirit is sent by Jesus. What does it tell you? That the three are intertwined as one. The Holy Spirit resides in us and around us. You know, there are sometimes you see things and I could say it this way, but that person's already said it well. I've got a couple of quotes from one of the commentaries I read from a guy called Colin Cruz. He says, with the coming of the Counselor, the exalted Jesus would make Himself present to His disciples in there and now. This is a reminder that the function of the Holy Spirit is not restricted to the bestowal of spiritual gifts or the production of Christian character, but includes the creation of a sense of intimacy with Jesus as well. See, intimacy is very important. Why? Because you can't bear witness to someone that you don't know. There's a massive difference in I know about a guy to a difference of I know the guy. It's a big difference, right? You know, many people struggle with that word intimacy. We limit it to a natural way of thinking. I love the way that Chris Vallotton, one of the senior pastors at Bethel Church, puts it. For him, he defines intimacy, into me you see. And I've had a bit of creative license and I've added a little bit of my own definition to that. The way that I define intimacy is simple. All of me intertwined with all of you. There is nothing. What does it look like with my wife? Obviously, it's in three areas. It's physical, spiritual, and emotional. What does it look like with my spiritual sons and daughters? That's all of me, spiritual and emotional, even physically in the sense of my time. But there is nothing that I will speak into someone's life that I'm not first vulnerable in. And now I can see why, because that wasn't initially my plan to share how I felt last week. But now I can see why the Holy Spirit prompted me to share how I felt going into the week. Into me you see. There is nothing to hide, nothing to be ashamed of. But when we leave things swept under a rug, and again, Holy Spirit is leading this because none of this is in my notes. I got a vision on the Thursday night that broke my heart. And on this vision was this beautiful rug. And I saw people, I don't know who the people were, but they're lifting up the rug and they're sweeping things under the rug. Kind of like what I used to do when Mum told me, clean your room. I would sweep it and she'd come on, ooh, look, it's nice and clean. She just didn't look under the bed. But the image that broke my heart was like, what's his carpet? What's his rug? And then I saw literally a multitude of people running. That rug was on the way to the throne room. And I saw people running and tripping over on the hidden things that people have, stumbling and falling short of the throne of God. Because we only share the good bits. Again, these are not in my notes, but can I propose to you? We've seen the things that have broken our hearts across our church globally because leaders have taken it upon themselves to tell you but not live the way that God designed us to live. One thing for me, I don't want to see people fall. Okay, Holy Spirit, were you taking me because I wasn't in my notes? He doesn't want perfection from us. I love that because He is perfect. We read about when the Holy Spirit comes upon us that we will be His witnesses. Acts 1:8, we love the power bit. You'll receive my power and we'll leave it at that. But why? To be His witnesses across Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth, to Lebanon and its surrounds. It's truly valuable knowing that He doesn't expect me to get right and perfect, but in my imperfection He dwells. Another beautiful attribute of this person, this incredible person, can I introduce you to him, and we'll have that opportunity in worship later, is that he teaches and reveals. You know, verse 26, we read of chapter 14, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance. There's that word that Pastor Gary used so beautifully before in communion, and it looks like I've actually stolen his notes. And you can preach as long as you want next time, Gary. That was brilliant, man. But in verse 26, he will teach us. The sent counselor, the Holy Spirit, sent in Jesus' name, intertwined with Father and Son, teaching all things. Now, you got to understand, teaching all things doesn't mean literally every single thing that you know. Otherwise, we'd have a lot of people winning the lotto. Hey, Lord, give me the word of discernment for what the lotto numbers are tomorrow. Or, hey, Lord, give me the words for that exam so I can get 100% study, people. But all that Jesus taught, he brings to remembrance what Jesus said, which is why reading the word, because the word is Jesus. At the beginning, you know, there was a word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Why it's important to read your word? Because the Holy Spirit will bring memory to it. If you're in a situation, you can declare. Think about it. And again, going off script here. Today's all about going off script. It wasn't my plan. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, did he respond? Even though he's the Son of God and he's the word, he could have. Did he respond just using his own words or what was written? It is written. There is authority in those words. He brings to remembrance. He gives insight. Yeah, come on, let's give God the glory for that. He gives insight and perspective to things not previously known. Have you noticed that you've, at times, maybe like me, like you'll read a scripture and you've read it 150 times and then the 151st time you're like, I never read that. I never saw it like that before. I'll give you an example of one fresh of the devotional oven. I feel like Jamie Oliver. I can smell the food, so I better hurry up. Acts 2:1. So we've read that many a time. They were in the upper room, 120 of them. We're there in one accord. We've heard the dad jokes that what's, you know, God's favorite car, the Honda, because they all fit in one accord. I didn't come up with that. Miss Ruth today because I miss his face palm. But when I was reading that the other day, I felt the Holy Spirit go, look closely at the 120. Who were the 120 people? They were his disciples. They were the people that did life with Jesus. They walked around him. So in discipleship, they could trust Jesus to go and wait in that moment. It just wasn't random people that walked into a revival night and encountered God. These are people that sold out completely and trusted that God would. They didn't know what it was going to look like, but they showed up. So I'm like, okay. Then what happened? Then suddenly he came. And then he took me to Acts 2, 42, 47, one of my favorite scriptures in the whole Bible because of the fact that it really paints a picture of the church. There were two elements there. There was the signs and wonders, but there was also the fellowship and giving of each other of everything and having all things in common. So I'm like, okay, beautifully, God, I've read this. What are you trying to say? Discipleship and revival go hand in hand. So you could go to every revival meeting and still be an orphan spirit because you've got no one speaking into your life. And you can be in every community meeting and life group and never encounter the power of the Holy Spirit. And that was the first time I read it that way. I've never seen that before. It's why important that you read your word. See, the disciples didn't fully understand what was going on. They're thinking, okay, this guy's going to leave. What's going on? How do we know this? Because when Jesus died, they all fled. They had no idea what was going on. But the Holy Spirit would make them understand. See, what the Holy Spirit does, he testifies of Jesus in hostile times. In that day, it was in the hostile times then. For us is now. What Jesus are we representing, our own or who the Holy Spirit's taught us to? And so Jesus knew this because he then talks about peace being needed. Peace I leave with you. Peace is a fruit of the Spirit. I tried on my own strength this morning with my kids, trying to bring in peace. My kids, we had some pretty big days and, you know, Judah looked at Alexis in a weird way apparently and she got angry and Alexis said something to Judah in a weird way and he got angry. So when I said, come on guys, give each other a hug. No, you're wrong. Okay, well, I can't make peace happen, but the Holy Spirit can. Let's pray, kids. If not, you won't get screen time. No, I'm joking. No, by the end. When you're in full relationship with the Holy Spirit, peace is that fruit that you need. It doesn't mean that bad things don't happen. It just means that no matter what the storms are raging around me, right now there is peace in my heart. I know that I'm in the right place. It ensures that our hearts are not troubled, as Jesus said. But the Holy Spirit also reveals of what is to come. In Ezekiel 37:26, long before the Holy Spirit came on the earth, it says, "Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it shall be an everlasting covenant with them. I will establish them and multiply them, and I will set my sanctuary in their midst forevermore." We are the fulfillment of Ezekiel's prophecy today. Because the Holy Spirit is not just here on Sundays from, you know, 8 till whatever time we lock up. He is wherever you go. Are you still with me, church? We're getting around that corner to the sprint. We can spend our whole lives trying to figure out absolutely everything about God and never even scratch the surface. And yet this God, the living God, chooses to reside in you if you would allow him to. He highlights the truth of Jesus in and through us, and yet many believers, all they take from when they hear about the Holy Spirit is to go and condemn the world. But the reality is, only the Holy Spirit can convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Notice the word that Jesus uses. It's interesting about that. Notice he doesn't use the word condemn. He uses convict. Not convict, as in like you're prisoners, but we were once, you know, prisoners, slaves to sin. Convict empowers you to change. Condemn says you'll never change. Jesus believed in verse 7 of chapter 16 that it was for our good for him to go and the Holy Spirit to come. Do you know that for as many people that were blessed by Jesus when he walked the earth, there were plenty others that never got to see him? Sobering thought. The Holy Spirit can be everywhere. He's omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, and whatever other omni word there is. The Holy Spirit does in us what Jesus did for us. And so because Jesus was present in one place, he needed to send the one that would be there everywhere. Doing what? Guiding in truth. Out of the authority that he hears. Too many of us, too many times, and I use the examples at the start, I won't call them testimonies because they don't testify of God's goodness, but more of how dangerous this thing can be. You know, many a time we take it upon ourselves to go and give words of authority that we were never given in the first place. Like, who am I to determine who will make it to heaven or not? Last I checked that there's only one person in that room, in that courtroom, that has, and we sang about it before, is he worthy? There's only one that is worthy to make that decision, and it isn't me. And thank God for that. So he comes to convict the world about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Just very quickly, sin, the unbelief and the refusal to accept Jesus and his revelation. Not every little thing, but that's the big thing. He came because it was a blatant rejection of God and him. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So to convict is like, whoa, this is where I'm going. But wait a second, there's hope. That's what the convict does. Conviction leads to repentance. What's repentance? I was walking this way, but now I'm turning, I'm coming back. I love what Ben Fitzgerald said in his one of the sessions. They're all mashed up for me now, but where he spoke about, surely we can't be comfortable at the idea that we're going to heaven and there are a lot of people that are going to hell. Convicts the world of the false standards of righteousness. You know, in the context of that, the religious leaders were all teaching that Jesus was false and he was lying, that he was sinful. And yet God vindicated Jesus when he rose again on the third day. Again, okay, I'm hearing this. The Holy Spirit convicts us to not act the way of Jesus, to live the way of Jesus. It's very different. The Pharisees and many of us that follow the religion side of this, we do the right thing and we say the right thing, but in our hearts, we don't believe the same thing. And then lastly, of judgment, the judgments of both Jesus and the people. He convicts people. You wrongfully, example of that. Again, thank you, Holy Spirit. He's really just downloading it. Saul on the road to Damascus was convicted about the judgment of Jesus when Jesus came and said to him, "Why are you persecuting me, Saul?" So notice, he doesn't come with the idea of judging, but to convict the judgment, the beliefs, the of God, of Jesus himself and his people. Have you ever like spoken with someone and you share with them you're a believer and they're like, oh, you're so different to everybody else. Have you had that before? If you haven't, maybe you need to ask why that is. Lord, let him reveal that to you. But for me, it always comes with the, oh, you hate, insert this group of people. You hate that group of people. You hate that group of people. Oh, no. I don't, for God so loved the world. I love the world. I don't agree with things, but I don't live my life. So what the difference of that is in the judgment is there's a difference between what I believe in and what I stand against. Now, some of you are like, what's the distinction? What I stand against is I'm just focusing on everything that's not from God. What I believe in is I center myself in him as my foundation. It's what leads Jesus to be able to do a miracle of turning water for wine for drunk people without him actually drinking, going, let's have shots, boys. That's the difference. It's fascinating that, isn't it? Now, I'm not encouraging us all to go and try to turn water to wine, but it's about the identity in who he says you are over what you stand against. See, he calls out the father of lies who stands condemned. The Holy Spirit exposes the false from the true. We call out the manipulations of the enemy. It's not up to us, but he does it through us. See, I think of the stories, how did Jesus do it? Well, woman at the well, he just asked for a glass of water. And this whole conversation happened and the whole community was saved. The woman caught in adultery. You know, I love that because you had the two groups. You had the religious extreme and you had the woman caught in adultery. And yet Jesus convicted both and he condemned none. He looked at the woman, look at me. Why did he do that? Because he gives identity. He's looking at her, I see you. Now go and sin no more. That's what it does. Not listen, sin, I change now and then come to church on Sunday and we'll have family lunch. Jesus sees you where you are. He died on the cross for you. And when you fix your eyes on him, there is grace. And grace is not deserved. Grace is not earned. It's freely given to you. And it empowers you to be able to go and sin no more. I love the way that Billy Graham says, I'm going to invite the band up as I say this. It's God the Father's job to judge. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict, and it's my job to love. See, there is so much more in the Holy Spirit than just the speaking in tongues and the gifts and what he can do. And they are all beautiful and amazing things. But when you understand him in the context of who he is, it actually makes it even more beautiful. And it actually makes it even more significant that God, you would choose to give me these beautiful gifts only because I show up and I receive you and I trust you. Not because I'm the pastor of the church. See, these things are amazing because they reflect the nature of God, but ultimately our relationship with the Holy Spirit, it leads to God being glorified. Chapter 16, verses 14 to 15, and I hope this is helping you this morning. He would glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Again, I promise you, I didn't read Gary's notes today. He spoke about that word declaration. What does it mean to proclaim? It's what he speaks about you and of you. Well, what does God speak of you? You are fearfully and wonderfully made. As sons and daughters, you know, you can call him Abba, Papa, Father. He welcomes you to call him Dad. He invites you of what's his. He wants to share it with you. And by taking what is Jesus' and declaring it to you, he's proclaiming of what is, what was, and what will be in your life. And then he empowers us to go and do likewise. We get to do that to others. You know how amazing that is? You know, I didn't think on Friday when I saw Joel and his child that that would be an illustration for my sermon, but how beautiful is that? That the Lord's like, I'm highlighting someone to see, now go and tell others they are seen. I'm honest, I was disappointed. Ben didn't have the 4 points. He only had three, he said. No, that's a joke. For those that were there, they'll get that joke. He made the joke. If you're expecting a 3-point sermon, it's not going to be good because I've got four. But I was mucking around that one. People are going to be like, let's denounce. No, that was a joke. Sorry, guys. He invites us to view the world from his lens alongside us, to declare the significance of the death and the resurrection of Jesus made known to man. The living Bible. We get to be that to people. but yet God gets the glory. God will give many things, but there's one thing that He will not share is His glory. Now, that doesn't mean that He doesn't give us credit. There's differences there as well, right? And again, not on my notes, but I feel like sharing this. Because one of the other sides of Christianity that saddens me is false humility. Have you ever met that person? Perhaps you met, I was that person. Man, you've got an incredible gift. Oh, no, brother. I'm nothing. No, it's all God, man. I'm nothing. I'm useless. And I remember I used to do that a lot. And I love that. Again, this is God convicting of righteousness. One day I said that to someone, brother, no, I'm nothing. I'm just a mere vessel of the Lord. I'm hopeless. It's Him. The Lord told me, go to Genesis 1:26-27. And He asked me, son, did I create nothing? What does Genesis 1:26-27 say? God created man and woman in His image. I am the imago Dei. Psalm 139 says, He fearfully and wonderfully made me, knitted me in my mother's womb. You know those in my mother's womb, not wombs, I wasn't born 10 times. But for my poor mum, it probably felt that way. But what it means is that God, those qualities that I love about myself and I don't, God uniquely gave me those things. Because I'm one of one. You're one of one. God hasn't called you to be the brother or sister down the street. He's made you to be you. What does that look like scripturally? Well, again, we read in the gospel of the parable of the talents, where God bestowed talents on people. And He said, I'm going to come back. And the guy with five made 10. The guy with two made 4. We won't talk about the one with one. That's a whole other sermon. But what does Jesus say? He doesn't say, I'm the best and you're nothing. Well done, good and faithful servant. Credit. God is not against giving people credit, but He's against taking His glory. What's the difference? That person was healed because I did it. That was all me. Oh, that person made a decision because I did it. If it wasn't for me, none of this would have happened. You know who did that first? Satan. Oh man, I want to be a first. What do you mean I'm the prophetic pillar worship leader? I want to be the CEO, man. God doesn't share His glory, but He gives credit. And how He does it is through His Holy Spirit. You know, He's not a bag of tricks. He breaks my heart. Again, I share this as well, Dan. He breaks my heart when I see people in the same spot coming just for the same thing. God's like, when you have an encounter with God, that should be the beginning of something. Not just, okay, well, I've run out of the fuel. I better come back and whoa, and I fall again. And okay, well, here I am again. And I come back and whoa. No, it's not meant to be that. Now, well, that's important that happens. The whole heart of it is our encounter with God should draw us to Him, give Him glory, and want us to get closer to Him, follow Him, and then go and make disciples. It should be an overflow. The Holy Spirit is for all of us. So my question to you, church, today is, have you been baptized by the Holy Spirit? We're going to have a moment to be able to respond to that in just a few minutes. You know, there are some of you here that still feel that you're not worthy for the Holy Spirit. And thank you, Mr. Colin Cruz. Came to save the day. His quote was much, much longer, so I'm going to do the refined one. But I want to finish with this quote. Obedience is not super spiritual obedience. What is meant by obedience is belief in Jesus and a commitment to follow Him. Do I still have your yes? You know, oh wow, I just read that there now. I wrote this sermon 3 days ago. When He asked me yesterday, do I still have your yes? That's what that means. See, Jesus' first disciples were not super disciples deserving the gift of the Spirit because of their extraordinary faith and obedience. They didn't understand things. Their thoughts were often the thoughts of mere humans, not the thoughts of God. How do we know this? At the time of Jesus' greatest need, they forsook Him and fled. And Peter even denied that he knew Jesus at all. But in contrast to those of the world, who do not love and obey Jesus, they did love Him. And in their own imperfect way, they did obey Him. It was disciples like these that Jesus promised the Counselor. Let that sit with you for a moment. feel, the Holy Spirit will never feel me because I lied last week or I did this or I did that. Peter looked Jesus in the eye and said, I don't know this guy. He lied to the very face of God. And yet we read in Acts, after the Holy Spirit came, he was the first one to get up and boldly declare and preach. Yeah, the Lord hasn't put on my heart to call this massive altar call for all of us to come here, just where you are right now. I just want to invite you, if you're comfortable, just to put your hands out. Just receive. Just receive. Just receive. Lord, I just thank you, God, because your desire is not just to get us to do things for you, but your heart, this person, you, the counselor, the advocate, the guide, the teacher, my helper. You want to do life in and through us. You want to be with us. So Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that whatever theology we have had that's turned away from the goodness or glory of who you are, Lord, we break that off people's lives right now, Lord. In fact, I get this picture like cataracts on eyes. That we have limited what the Holy Spirit can do because we've allowed the judgment of experience and the bad testimony of others to cloud what we see. That's one thing I'll give the disciples here. They didn't have something to compare it to. They were just hungry for God. They were saddened that Jesus was leaving and they were just hungry because they wanted his presence. They didn't care what it looked like and he came. So Lord, we break down, Lord, false theology of people's hearts right now, Lord. Lord, right now I pray that you just fill people's hearts with your Spirit, Lord. For some of you, what the Holy Spirit is doing right now is actually like giving you a tap on the shoulder and saying, I've never left. I'm here with you. For others, he's convicting your heart right now. That's okay. If you cry, cry, let it out. That's okay. Lord, I repent for the times that I have falsely misrepresented who you are. Lord, I pray for all of you in my heart, not none of me. Lord, I give you my yes. If you believe that in your heart, this is your opportunity to say that to him. You don't have to speak it out loud. You can speak it in your own heart, but this is your opportunity. The Lord is asking that question that he asked of me. Do I still have your yes? And many of us are trying to figure out what the terms and conditions are. What does that look like? But what he is saying is, do you have my yes? Do you have my full love and commitment? Don't worry about the secondary stuff. I'll sort that out for you. But do I have your heart? And so, Lord, right now, we just pray, Father God, that you fill people's lives right now, Lord, with your Spirit. For those that are believing right now, and I'm just staying in this moment, if you lunch is almost here, so please don't rush off. We're going to have food very soon. But I feel like the Lord is saying to linger in this moment. There are some that are still feeling the weight of judgment, shame, and condemnation. Some of you are feeling guilty of things. You know, I learned that guilt, what that means is I did wrong, which, you know, you can sort of move on from, but shame is a little bit deeper because shame says I am wrong. But the Lord is reminding you right now that there is not one person on this earth that he did not hang on the cross so they would miss out. There's not one person that's too far gone for the gift of salvation. Now, I'm sorry if you've been in places where you've given all to God and people have let you down. Jesus says you're in the right place because he hung on the cross because everyone let him down. But yet he rose again. And so, Lord, right now I pray, Father God, for each and every one of my friends here today, my family here today, Lord, that you would restore our heart back to you. that you would be alongside us, Lord. So as we then go into, Lord, learning all the other things about you, God, we will understand the context of it, Father, so that we could effectively be led by you, Lord, to see your kingdom come, your will be done. The only way we will know what your kingdom looks like is if we have you in our lives to guide us and teach us, Lord. So Lord, right now I pray that you fill people with the Holy Spirit right now, Lord. Wherever they are, just start filling people right now, Lord. Fill them with your Holy Spirit right now, Lord. Fill them right now, Lord. We just pray it right now. And if you want to receive, just put your hands there. Just receive it right now. It doesn't have to be something that you have to make a song or dance about. The Lord is touching people right now. Lord, right now we just release your Holy Spirit, Father. Have your way, Father. Lead us, Lord. Lead us, Lord. And some of you might be here today, and then I'm going to get the worship team to lead us one last time. You're hearing this, you're like, what's that mean? What? See, Jesus, I love that Pastor Sonia mentioned that before, gives grace to the law. You know, Jesus came, because like I said earlier, Romans 3:23, all have sinned, for all have sinned, and have fallen short of the glory of God. See, there was a broken world. There was a big chasm between God and his greatest creation, us, because of this thing, sin. Sin being which we blatantly rejected God with our words, our actions, our lives. So Jesus came to set us free by being the perfect sacrifice for us. So you wouldn't see yourself as guilt or shame ridden, but as sons and daughters of the Most High God. Those words, "it is finished" on the cross, meant that we went from striving to thriving. But the way that we can receive Jesus in our lives is by responding. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And so the way that we confess here, what we do is not getting people up and sharing everything they've done wrong. It's just simply saying, "I believe." And so if you're here today and you've never made that decision to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, and I'm just focusing on that group because I believe what Holy Spirit did before, he took care of those that are prodigal, those that have walked away, that once said yes, because the Holy Spirit doesn't leave you. So if you're here, you've never made the decision to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, while all heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I would love to pray with you. And the only way that I can do that is if you just raise your hand so I can see it and pray with you. And so if you're here today and you want to make that decision to receive Jesus, with all heads bowed and eyes are closed, I want to invite you to raise your hand and I'd love to pray as I look across.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.